Somebody give them a hand clap tonight. Hallelujah. There is no other. You are God alone. Amen. Aren't you thankful that He's unchangeable? That He's unshakable? That He's unmovable? Amen. Everything's moving in this hour. Everything's falling. Things have been falling for 6,000 years. There's one thing that's not moving. One thing that's not falling. Amen. I'm so glad that we can stand upon that unshakable, unmovable word. Amen. What a comfort it is in this hour. Amen. Everybody's looking around for solutions, and you have the solution with you every day. Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm glad I serve a God that's never surprised. Amen. He wrote this drama out, this perfect, beautiful drama out from beginning to end. He's not getting stressed out. He's not wringing his hands. He's not saying, boy, I didn't see that coming. Right? We might not have seen it coming many times, but He's not surprised. Amen. Blessed be His wonderful name. Well, you can be seated for just a moment. We're so thankful that you're here tonight. If you're just joining us, if you're joining us for the first time tonight, God bless you. Welcome. If you've been here with us through the services so far, God bless you. Welcome. See, equal opportunity. All right. We're thankful also for all of those that are working behind the scenes and in front of the scenes as well, to make these meetings a blessing. You know, we've said many times that the smoother that things go, it often means it's because there was a lot of effort that went forth. I say often because things don't always go smoothly, and there can still be a lot of effort going forth, right? But you know, the sound system, for instance, if nobody has any complaints, that means they were working real hard. Right. Somebody say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
We've been blessed each night. We've been blessed with the worship. We've been blessed with the specials. We've been blessed with the word. Amen. I believe that God has given us the very best. The bride of Christ. He's given us the very best. I almost feel sorry for everybody else, right? But a father does want to give his children the very best. He's left us out of nothing. So Brother Andrew Glover started the services for us and brought a tremendous thought, reminder, expectations that are lit by the message, right? So something's lit, and it's lit by something, right? And our expectations are lit by this message. And then the next night, our brother David Gadman followed right up with Stir Thyself. Something's lit, but let's keep it going, right? Let's fan the flames, right? And if you got to stir yourself, well, get busy, right? Hallelujah. This isn't the end, right? We do have we have read the back of the book, you know, and it does say, and they all lived happily ever after, right? But we have to get to the back of the book, right? So we stir ourselves, right? Many, many wonderful thoughts that were brought, and I'm not even going to attempt to summarize here tonight, but wonderful thoughts, and you can just see the continuity of the word. You can see same spirit that's leading us in the same direction, different ministries, different... Even the same gift many times, but as Paul said, different administration of it, because we're all different, right? And God knows just what to send us so that we get what it is that we need to get. I was talking with some ministers at lunchtime today, and we were reflecting on how supernatural it is. You know, we're in a one-room schoolhouse here tonight, right? And it's preschool to, you know, graduate school or PhD or whatever. And somehow the Word of God is able to speak to us from preschool to... You believe that? That's supernatural, isn't it? That's the God that we serve. And then last night, our brother Bryce Collins brought another masterpiece, or as I like to say, piece of the master. Right? The power that worketh in us. We know that it takes power to get anything done, and just brought a real masterpiece, and you know, showing how at the beginning of the church ages there was a there was fission, and there was a great separating as the fire went forth and as the gospel is being spread. But here in the end, everything's coming back together, right? As Paul said, he will gather together all things in one in Christ Jesus here in the end, right? And there's a uniting that's taking place. And he was showing us and reminding us how, you know, even in the natural, that in the natural here on the earth, that man has figured out how to get energy from fusion, right? Fission, when atoms are split apart, there's energy that's released. Fusion, when matter is pushed together, it has to give up energy in order to form this new bond. It has to give up energy. And this uniting that's taking place here in this last hour, we need some extra energy, don't we? I mean, I think it's going to take a little energy to change my body, right? I don't know the physics of that, but everything takes energy, right? He's going to make sure that we have it. Right? So as even in the natural sciences discovered, you know, they've gotten to the place where it takes less power to get that reaction going than there's power that's released, right? It isn't just all this power that they're putting in it to cause matter to fuse, but now they've got it to a place where energy is being released, right? He reminded us that that's what's taking place in the sun, right? So God has shown us in the heavens what he's doing here on the earth, right? I'm just scratching the surface. Many, many wonderful thoughts that were brought last night, and we appreciate Brother Bryce and him yielding to the Lord, and we're expecting again tonight, aren't we? I'm ready to drink out of my saucer tonight. Right? I don't care how much is poured. I want more. Right? I've come to get more. And I'm not going to be disappointed. How many can say that tonight? Amen. Amen. So tonight we have Brother Sean Martin with us, and here with his wife from Faith Tabernacle in Blacksburg, Virginia. And we've had the pleasure of knowing Sean for several years now, and Sister Heather for starting from when they lived here in Arizona. We won't hold that against them that they left. But, and we also got to know his mom and dad and to fall in love with them, and his brothers and his sister and her husband. And we've been thoroughly blessed by his ministry and with his friendship. And we believe him to be a real man of God, a gifted man, a humble man, and one who stands for the truth without compromise. And I'll stand with somebody like that all day long, won't you? Amen. Somebody that's met the pillar of fire himself and has a firsthand testimony and a firsthand relationship with Christ the Word. Every one of us has to meet him one-on-one, right? Somebody say, praise the Lord. I mean, how can you unite with them and never meet them? You have to know what you're uniting with, who you're uniting with, right? So I don't remember exactly what year it was, but it was sometime before 2018. We had Brother Sean and all of his brothers and his sister and mom and dad. They all came for watch night service, and we just had a wonderful time. And that talent, the talent in that family, you know, I'm not going to accuse God of being unfair. But it's a trial. They just blessed us in music, and they blessed us in the preaching of the word, and it was just a wonderful time. And then I don't remember if it was during the service or, you know, sometime later that night. It snowed, you know, as it can do here in the valley sometimes. And actually, I remember we went home and there's something funny about seeing snow on top of cactus, right? It's like, what's wrong with this picture? My wife has this, I guess it's like a doorstop, but it's made out of plaster or concrete. It's a cat, right? And she had that up on a wall, a half wall that was in front of the house. And so I got up the next morning and I saw it out there on that half wall, and there was snow on it, and there's snow on the cactus and snow everywhere. So I took a picture of it and shared it with some friends, and I said, the poor cat, you know, it was got out last night and we forgot to let it back in, and poor guy didn't make it through the night, you know. Well, I have to watch my funny bone, because sometimes it gets away from me. I got all kinds of comments back. Well, that's cruel. You know, how could you do that to your cat, you know? Well, somebody say praise the Lord. I'm in expectation tonight. Aren't you? You say, well, you shouldn't make jokes and you shouldn't. I'm happy. Right? If the world's happy, I ought to be 10 times happier. If the world is experiencing peace and joy, I should have 10 times that, right? People say, well, what do you do for fun? I say, come and see, right? I'd rather be here than, I can't think of something out there in the world that I'd rather do than be here. Amen? This is life. In fact, as I think it's even been said this way, this week, I don't know if it was a song leader or who it was, but I was made for this, right? This was made for me, and I was made for this. So excuse me if I get a little happy, right? You say we don't go by emotion. I know that. I'll remind you when you're pouting. No, we don't go by emotion, but there's emotion that comes with it, right? Brother Branham said, you know, if something without emotion, it's dead. And if it's dead, let's bury it. Right? We don't go by emotion, but I'm thankful that emotion can come with it. Hallelujah. Somebody say praise the Lord. Let's stand. I'd like to have our brother Sean come, and I need you, Lord. How many can say that tonight? I need you, Lord. I need you. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, right now. Yes, Lord. I need you, Lord. Yes, I need you, Lord, right now. And so I lift my hands and I bow my knees and I worship at your throne. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, right now. Hallelujah. With all your heart, one more time. I need you, Lord. Oh, yes, I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, right now. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Oh, yes, I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, right now. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. And so I lift my hand and I bow my knee.
Can we sing that again? I need you, Lord. Do you believe it? Oh, I need you, Lord. Oh, yes, yes, yes. man. And I believe he is here to meet every need that is present. Amen. And that's just the God that we serve. And I'm so glad that we serve such a God that cares. Amen. And that is a man desiring to meet our needs. Amen. And the musicians can be dismissed. And appreciate the musicians. And they sound very good. Praise the Lord. And certainly enjoyed all the songs, the specials, and just want to say I appreciate the opportunity to stand before you and to minister the gospel, amen, in such a time as this, and appreciate your pastor for the invitation, and appreciate all the hospitality, and you guys know how to make a guy feel at home, and we just really appreciate the food that have been prepared nightly, and the basket of snacks. Man, we've been chowing at, you know, and so this isn't a good place to lose weight, that's for sure. And we've certainly enjoyed it, you know, it's going to be kind of hard to go home, you know, but I do greet you, the church back home, Virginia greets you, and I appreciate my wife coming, and she's been such a help to me, and I want to just thank Brother Doug and Sister Jennifer for their labor of love that they have shown to the saints here in Tucson, and their love for the message of the hour, and to establish the people, you know, these past 30 years. And I can tell you that pastoring is not easy. And an elder brother, Brother Roy Shrewsbury, he's went to be with the Lord, but he was up in his close to 100 years old. But he told me years ago, he said, Brother Sean, he says, this is the hardest age to try to pastor at the church. And I tend to agree. I've been pastoring 13 years, and that always reminds, you know, but I tell you, when it's all said and done, it's worth it. And to be able to preach the gospel. And I pray that your reward will be great on the other side. And, you know, but I also appreciate the fact that there are people, believers, that are still wanting to hear the message of the hour. And to want to gather, amen, and to serve the Lord. And so I say God bless you, Love Divine Tabernacle. And appreciate the opportunity to minister with the brethren. And we certainly have enjoyed the services so far, and enjoyed the fellowship at the luncheon and with the ministers, some I've not met. And so we thoroughly have enjoyed ourselves this time. If you have your Bibles, we're going to turn to the book of Mark, first of all, Mark 11, and I'm going to be simple this evening, but I certainly pray to be a help to you, and whatever I can. And of course, in order to do that, we need the Lord's help, don't we? And no doubt there are needs here that are present, and I wonder if we could just bow our heads and talk to the author of the word, amen, and ask for his divine help. Lord Jesus, Father, the songs have been sung, the worship has gone forth. And Lord, within our hearts, it's our desire to wash your feet, to make you welcome here. And Father, now we ask that you would speak back to us. Father, we are needy people, and we fight things every day. But Lord, if we could just hear a word from you, that could just speak to the hearts. It doesn't matter, Lord, what need it is. You know how to meet them, and you can meet it all spontaneous. And I pray that you would anoint me, anoint the gift that you placed within me, and help me just to yield myself to you now. I pray, Lord, that you would just drive every spirit that would try to hinder the people. Father, drive it from this place. It's our prayer, and may faith arise in every heart. We ask it in your lovely name, Jesus Christ. And the church says, amen. Amen and amen. Mark the 11th chapter, and the going to start at the 12th verse. And on the morrow, when they were gone from Bethany, he was hungry, speaking of Jesus, and seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. Now if you'll go down to the 19th verse, and when even was come, he went out of the city, and in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. If you'll turn with me to the book of Psalms, 107, Psalms 107, and we'll read the 19th and 20th verse. It says, when then they cry unto the Lord in their time of trouble, and he saveth them out of their distresses, he sent his word. Everybody say, he sent his word. And healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Amen. You can have your seats this evening. And if I have a title, it would be The Power of Faith. And the Bible talks about a man who had a son that was tormented of the devil. And the father brought the boy to Jesus and said to Jesus, if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. So he's putting it to Jesus, if you can do anything. But then Jesus puts it right back into his lap and says, but if thou canst believe, all things are possible to them that believe. Ain't that right? So faith has power. Oftentimes we're guilty of we think that God has to do something before we can get healed, or he has to do something before we can get deliverance or whatever. But and maybe we look for some kind of feeling or some type of emotion or something to give us kind of a comfort that God is actually going to answer, and these things. And so we know that, you know, some people, you know, and maybe probably all of us at one time or another, but they look for what is called a positive sign,
from God to let them know that they can be healed, or let them know that they're saved, or let them know that everything's gonna work out, and things like that. Being raised under Pentecostal teaching, we relied on prophecy, we relied on dreams and visions, and it seemed like we needed God to constantly show us that we were loved, and that we were going to make it, and that everything was going to be okay. But when I came into the message and began to lay in the presence of the sun, as the prophet would call it, and began to ripen, I find that all I need is faith. Amen. That's all we need tonight is just faith. Brother Bryce talked about the law of faith last night. And so Jesus said to his disciples, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing, everybody say nothing, nothing shall be impossible unto you. See, and so I like what Brother Andrew said, and of course Brother Branham taught us, you do not have to see something, you do not have to feel something, but you must believe. Can you say amen? You don't have to feel it, you don't have to see it, but you have to believe. In the Bible, Jesus asked blind Bartimaeus, saying, what will that I shall do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight. He said, see, thy faith hath saved thee. See, and immediately he received his sight. So Jesus didn't have to do a lot of thing. The faith was already there. Amen. All he just said was receive thy sight. Thy faith is what done it. Can you say amen? It wasn't any miracle. It wasn't, or any something, supernatural that Jesus done. He just perceived the faith, and the faith, amen, got his healing. Jesus said to the leper, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. He spake to the woman with the issue of blood, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole, go in peace and be whole of thy plague. You know, the prophet said Jesus never had a vision of her. He didn't even know what happened. Amen. The Bible says that she just touched the hem of his garment, and Jesus didn't even know it was her. He was looking around to find out what happened. Amen. See, but it was her faith that got her miracle. Can you say amen? That's right, see. And so you could tell that she was not one of these modern Pentecostals who had to see an angel before they can believe, or has to have someone to prophesy over them before they can accept their healing. She recognized who Jesus was, amen, and she said, if I can just but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. Amen. Didn't consider the fact that the doctors had done all that they could for her. Didn't consider the fact that she was losing her life. Amen. But she looked at the promise. She looked at the reality of what was standing before her. Amen. And she received her healing. Ain't that right? You see, we find that Jesus never even healed on his own unless he had a vision. Amen. See, the Bible talks about Jesus going, amen, to the pool of Bethesda, and he, the prophet said there was water-headed babies there. There were people that were, amen, on their last breath of life, and yet Jesus walked past all of them, and he went to that lame man, and told him to rise and take up thy bed and walk and go thy way. Amen. He had a vision of that man. Ain't that right? But notice, the Bible talks about two blind men, amen, who were healed, and yet Jesus never had a vision of them being healed. He didn't have any significant dream or something from the Father showing what it is, but the prophet said they were crying after him. He didn't pay any attention to them. He went on in the house, and then the blind man came to him in the house and crying after him yet. And he turned around to them. No vision now. If he had had a vision, he had carried it out. But he didn't have a vision. He said, do you believe that we're able to do this? And they said, yes, Lord, we believe. And then he touched their eyes with his fingers and said, now, according to your faith, be it unto you. Can you say amen? Amen. See, be it unto you. And a few minutes, their eyes were open. He had nothing to do with it. Not one thing to do with it had Jesus, the Lord Jesus. He said, it was your faith. It was your faith. He says, it'll be to you just as you believe it. Come on, church. We don't need the prophet to stand here and perform a Messiah sign. That's already been done. It's your faith. It's your faith. Can you say amen? Oh, if I could just see an angel. I just know that come into a supernatural experience. I know everything will be fine. But what about your faith? Amen. Brother Bram said, I would like for everyone to understand that in healing now, it isn't anything that I do that causes you to get well. It isn't necessary that I lay my hands on you. It isn't necessary that I pray for you. It's necessary that you believe Jesus Christ healed you when he died for you. My ministry is not to lay hands on people. It's to let the people see that Jesus has raised from the dead and he's here and he loves you. Can you say amen? He says, now, Brother Ballsworth, many other ministers, they preach the word, and through the word you believe. And then when I was put in the world, I was given a gift. That gift brings God in view of everyone. So you can see, you understand that something supernatural is moving with the people. Then for me to pray for you then, he says, it's for you to believe that he's here. How many believes that he's here? He did not leave when a prophet left the scene. He is here. Ain't that right? See, so it's for you to believe that he's here. You understand now, do you? It's your faith that touches him. That's when you're healed. So see, faith calls God on the scene every time. That's what the prophet said. Nothing, everybody say nothing, can happen without faith. It takes faith to be healed. It takes faith to be delivered. It takes faith, amen, to get saved, salvation. It takes faith to defeat the devil. It's going to take faith to receive a body change. Do you believe that? Amen. It's going to take faith to go in a rapture. Everything about this Christian life is faith. Amen. So Jesus said, all things that are possible to them that feel good. All things are possible to them that are upon the mountaintops. No, all things are possible to them that believe. You know, you don't even have to feel saved, amen, at the time of a body change to receive your body change. You might be going through the greatest trial of your life, and at the time of the changing of a body, your faith will change your body. Can you say amen? It's not how I feel that makes me saved. There's many times I don't feel saved, but I know I'm saved. There's many times I don't feel healed, but I know I'm healed. And the devil can't stop it. You must believe. Now the prophet said there's only two elements that controls the human being. That's either doubt or faith. One or the other. Amen. You're possessed of one that dominates your life. Just depends on how much faith you have of how high you can rise. Now church, our goal is, and I know it's your pastor's goal and these ministers' desire, is to get your faith in such a level, amen, that you can rise, and there's no limitations of how high you can rise in God. That's what I want for you tonight, and I know your pastor has labored these 30 years for this, amen, to bring your faith in such a level, amen, that you can accept everything that God has for you. As the prophet said in his prayer, Father, amen, I believe that you're preparing the people in this age to believe for all things.
Amen.
Amen. See? Amen. You have been predestinated to rise in the heavenlies. I don't believe that God has called us to be defeated. I don't believe that God has called us to struggle to become bride material. We talk about being bride material, but that ain't for you to struggle to become that. God didn't call us to live below our privileges as sons and daughters of His. Amen. Brother Branham said, when you are saved, God gives you faith to rise from the muck of the earth. Your faith overcomes the things of the world. Amen. Faith is the victory, right? Faith is the victory that overcometh the world. So Brother Branham said, as much as your faith will be released, that's how much power you can have. As much faith can be released, that's how much power you can have. Yes, sir. Now, we've already been taught, amen, deity's not in heaven, deity's in you. We don't have to go around saying abracadabra-doo, amen, to get something to happen. The power's already within you. It's your faith. So as much as your faith will be released, that's how much power you can have. Notice, because in you dwells the power to make heavens and earth. God dwells in you, and you are sons and daughters of God. There you are, but it's your faith. Jesus said, according to your faith, be it unto you. Now, so faith is something more than hope. Amen. You know, faith is burly. Brother Bram says, got muscles. I'm probably the wrong guy to do that. Hope, you know, he says that hope, she's lovely, she's sweet, but she's timid. Hope, she's shy. And Brother Bram says, hope is the greatest enemy faith has. If there's anyone named Hope, we're not talking about you. So don't let the devil beat you up on that one. And I know he's good at it. Amen. But hope is the greatest enemy that faith has. That's right. The greatest enemy faith got is hope. Because a person becomes so hopeful till they leave away from faith. See, hope will agree with the Bible. Hope will say, oh yes, it's true. Hope will say, I believe every bit of it. I believe that's the word of God. I believe that God will keep His promises. See, hope believes all of that. But then hope says, well, now I believe that God will heal, but look at my condition. See, so hope it doesn't just take authority. Hope just backs down, so I believe that. But look at my symptoms. Look where I'm at. And look what the doctor says. And then when someone with faith tries to tell him that you can make it, oh, but you're being a little bit too hard, you know. See, and so he says, now, faith doesn't look at that. Faith doesn't look at conditions. Faith doesn't look at circumstance. Faith doesn't look at your failures. Faith doesn't look at nothing else. Faith comes around and says, I don't care nothing about conditions. God said so, and it's mine. You believe it? Power of faith. Now, faith is the law of God, right? It's what a prophet taught us. Faith is the first law of God. See, God used the law of faith to create all things. God wanted a world. He wanted light. It was His desire to have a universe. It was His desire to have sons and daughters of His, to have fellowship with, and that He could express Himself through and show His power. And it was His desire. But yet there was nothing there. As the prophet tells us, you know, it was God alone. God alone, see? He was the self-existent one. And so He's there. There's no light. And I don't know, Brother Doug, I could say there was no darkness or there was, well, Brother Bram tells us there was no oxygen. There was no chemicals. There was no, atoms. There was nothing there. It was simply God. and God dwelt alone with his thoughts. Ain't that right, see? So there was no heaven, there was no earth, there was no molecules, there was no dirt, there was nothing but God, see? And those thoughts that he had were not just passing thoughts. Amen. Just as we have passing thoughts. We have so many thoughts that go through our mind that we even forget about what went through our mind. You know, they just constantly, woo, hoo, 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 you know, and I'm so glad they're passing thoughts, because if the devil ever had a chance to plant his thinking in my thoughts, in my mind, we'd be terrible. Amen. But see, God had thoughts and they weren't passing thoughts. The prophet said they were eternal thoughts. In other words, they weren't going to leave him. Amen. In other words, he wasn't going to get any new thoughts. The thoughts that he had were eternal thoughts, and they were going to remain with him. They're still remaining with him. Can you say amen? That's right, see. And so God knew now, he's alone. There's nothing there. And that could prove to him that all that he desired could be, it was just him and his thinking. But God knew, he knew who he was. There was nothing outside to tell him who he was. There was nothing outside to make him who he was. He was self-existence, and he knew who he was. And he knew that if he spoke the word, whatever he desired would happen. Can you say amen? He knew that once he spoke the word, the situation would change. I'm going to ask you, what is the word of God? The prophet said the word of God is the will of God. Can you say amen? So to speak the word is to declare the will of God. Right? To speak the word of God is to declare the will of God. I know there's a lot of words been spoken, amen, but the word of God only declares the will of God. So if you speak anything that is not the will of God, then you're not speaking the word of God. I'm going to get somewhere in a moment now. But if you're not speaking the will of God, you're not speaking the word of God. And if you're not speaking the word of God, you're not speaking the will of God. Now, God, amen, he believed in his own word. He's the one that had faith. Amen. He knew that his word had the power of creation in it. Amen. The prophet said God believed his own word and it formed the world. God believed his own word. He didn't care about the situation. He didn't care about there was nothing to make things out of. He just believed in his own word and it formed the world. He knew that his word had authority. Can you say amen? And by faith, everybody say by faith. By faith, he spoke things into existence. By faith, he spoke. By faith, he said, let there be. And there was. Ain't that right? He would have never spoken if he didn't have faith in his word. Amen. That's true now. See, and so then when he spoke his word, he never questioned whether it would happen or not. Is that not what Jesus just done? Did not we just read about this? He said, let no man eat from thee and from henceforth forever. Amen. And he walked away. He didn't camp around and say, now boys, let's see if this really works. No, the same God that had confidence in his word in the heavens was now dwelling in that body, and he knew that that word would take effect. He never questioned. As far as God was concerned, it was a done deal. That's the difference between faith and hope. Faith knows. Amen. It's the difference between faith and wishing and wanting and begging. Now let's just get it down now. How many desires more of God? How many desires things? How many wants things? Well, that's good to want, but that don't mean you're going to get it. Because begging God doesn't mean you have faith. Desiring for something doesn't mean you have faith. Wanting it doesn't mean you have faith. Hoping for it doesn't mean you have faith. Can you say amen? Don't come to church wishing. Come to church believing. Can you say amen? And I want to say to you young boys, it's for you too. It's for you. It's not just for the preachers, not just for mom and dad. Just have faith. Can you say amen? So God, by faith, spoke his word and considered it done. God not only spoke a world into existence, but by faith he spoke his whole plan in existence. Hebrews 4:3 tells us the works were finished from the foundation of the world. And you say amen. The Bible says that Jesus Christ was slain. He was the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Ain't that right? Notice what the prophet said. When God spoke it, it was a finished work when God spoke it. Ain't that right? It was a finished work when God spoke it, because by faith he spoke. By faith. It wasn't just speaking out of wishing, but by faith. And in the sight of God, he says, in the heavens, when God spoke the word before the foundation of the world, seeing what he would have to do, Christ was really slain when God spoke it. See it? 4,000 years later, it was manifested. How infallible that word is, God speaks it. Our little infinite mind cannot fathom it, see, because we've got a finite mind and he's infinite, see. But when he speaks anything, it has to come to pass. Though it linger, though it goes on, yet in God's ordered time, it's got to be fulfilled because God spoke it. But we can see now in the scriptures that not only was the lamb slain before the foundation of the world, amen, but the sons of God shouted for joy millions and millions and millions of years, if you want to say it that way. They shouted for joy before the foundation of the world. Do you believe that? See, before the foundation of the world, amen, the lamb was slain, and at the same time, God in his great thinking seen us shouting and rejoicing in our salvation through Jesus Christ. And then you think you're barely going to make it, you're wondering if you're going to make it, look at what God had by faith. By faith, he saw you. It wasn't another civilization that was shouting for joy, and here you are just barely making along. No, you were the ones that was shouting for joy. It was before the foundation of the world that God foreknew us, called us, justified us, and glorified us. By faith he did that. By faith he called you. By faith he foreknew you. By faith he justified you. And by faith he glorified you. It's a done deal. It's done. According to God, it's done. And he decreed it by faith. And there's nothing that the devil can do to change it. Well, that ought to make you happy. You know, in the Old Testament, the Bible shows us just how secure we are. But in the Old Testament, Jacob had a dream. God gave Jacob a dream, and to show us just how secure we are. In the dream, Jacob saw a ladder set up on the earth, reaching the heavens. The top of it reached the heaven. The prophet said that the ladder was the pathway to glory on which we are walking. Hello. So in the Old Testament, he's showing the pathway. This ladder was not laying down. It was standing up. Right? Yes, sir. See, so it shows us that we're not just moving from one earthly thing to another earthly thing, from one denomination to another denomination, from one doctrine to another doctrine. Right? We're not just moving from one thing to another thing, just bouncing around. Amen. See, no. See, amen. See, all those things are earthbound. See, but we are, the prophet said, we are ascending to God. We are leaving the earthbound things of the world and ascending into the heavenlies. Do you believe that? See, so what God is showing by this dream, amen, Jacob's dream, is that he has provided a way, amen, to transform us. Do you believe it? To where we can be transformed. That word transformed is to change from one thing to another. And the prophet said we started out as the dust, and now we're becoming to shining stars. Can you say amen? The prophet said, God said to Abraham, your seed is like the dust. But after he gave him the promise, he was going to confirm the promise, and he said, your seed is like the stars. See, from the dust to the stars. Oh my, that's our pathway. God's already decreed it. Amen. And Brother Bram said another place, it's a pathway. It's a traveler's way from earth to glory. And God hooked that ladder, amen, into the throne of God, amen, and then he placed it up on earth, and he hooked it into the Son of Man, Jesus Christ. That's what he said. Ain't that right? Now notice, he did it to make sure that that ladder didn't slip. Brother Bram says, God made the covenant unconditionally. He hooked it into Christ Jesus. There it's anchored. There's no slipping and sliding. There's no way of getting away. I'm telling you, God done this by faith. He didn't have to wait to see what you was going to do about it. He's already established it. That's right, see? He said there's no way of getting away. What is it? It's hooked by God above and by the Son of God beneath. And then goes, and what does he do? He puts angels in between. So one end is on at the throne of God. The other one is hooked into the Son of God. Amen. And we're right there walking up, and there's angels there with us. You can't fail. So Brother Bram says, look, there's great companies of angels up and down here, ascending and descending. Notice, picking up the weary. How many's ever been weary? How many's ever thought that you ain't going to make it, and yet you're here tonight? That wasn't your self-will. That wasn't your strong desire. That was angels of God helping you. There might have been some of you, amen, the angels of God helped you to get to church tonight. There's some of you thinking, well, maybe I ain't going to lift my hands. I ain't going to praise God anymore. I'm just so defeated. And you find yourself lifting up your hand. There's angels of God. So Brother Bram said, see, they're picking up the weary and the sick, healing their bodies, showing visions and mighty signs and wonders. It can't fail. It can't slip. It can't slide. You're safe. Can you say it with me? I'm safe. God said so. That settles it forever. See, it's hooked around the heart of God of heaven, hooked around the Son of God down here, and we're brought into it. Through the Son of God, we ascend to Him. Then what are you scared about? Our promise. Everybody say, my promise. Our promise is hooked between God and Christ, and we're in between them with angels. Another place he says, see, this ladder is hooked around the heart of God of heaven, hooked around the Son of God down here, and we're brought into it. Though, or through the Son of God, we ascend to Him. He says, then what are you scared about? See, he said, He will give His angels charge over thee, and the angels of God are encamped about those who fear Him. He says all up and down when we're making this foundation, climbing each day higher and higher. That's exactly what you're doing. You might be feeling complacent. You might not be feeling, you may feel like you're not getting anywhere, but every day you're climbing higher and higher and higher. And I got to tell you, we're almost to the top, my friends. And he says, see, up and down, see. He says, see, each day brings me one round higher and higher as I move up, up, up. Anything happens. If I fall along the road or something happens to me, there's a great host of angels standing there to pick me up and saying, come on, we're marching on toward Zion, on to that beautiful city. Well, aren't you glad there's angels to encourage you? Aren't you glad there's angels to protect you? Then he goes on to say, it can't fail. He said, there's no failing in it. It don't rest upon what I do. It rests upon what he did. Amen. It's already a finished work. The believer, once anchored in Christ Jesus, coming through the door back there, put on this highway, he said, you can't get any way but straight up to God with it, and there's angels to take care of you. God made a way of this, and he did it by faith. See, so we're not alone in this world. You may feel alone, and that's what the devil wants you to feel. You young people might feel alone. Sometimes you might just feel all kinds of emotions and things and troubles in your mind, and Satan wants to attack, put them thoughts to you, and that's you and your character, and you're this and you're that. No, that's the devil's. That's the devil's thinking. Can you say amen? And when you're feeling that aloneness, just remember there's angels. God said there's angels that are with me, that are taking care of me. If you need healing, salvation, deliverance, there's angels. Can you say amen? Yep, his angels. Amen. Brother Bram said his angels are with you to bear you up, to comfort you, to give you faith, to move you along. Ain't that right? Yes, sir. We could go on and on and on about the angels being there. Amen. But let's just put it. Amen. You know, the prophet gives us an insight of how that Eliezer, when he's looking for a bride for Isaac, and he don't know who he to look for. He don't know what to do. He just feels this responsibility upon his shoulders. And he's got to find the right one. Amen. And he begins to talk to the Lord. Amen. And right at the time he gets there, there's Rebecca at the well. I mean, you know, he got there and then here she come. Now the prophet lets us know what happened. He said the angel of the Lord beat Eliezer there 30 minutes before Eliezer got there, and he began to prepare Rebecca, amen, and tell, go to the well, go to the well, come on, come on, come on, go to the well, amen. And she arrived at the well at the evening time. Amen. It wasn't coincidence. There was an angel there directing her. It ain't a coincidence that you come to this message in the evening time. There's angels. The angel of the Lord is with you. Don't think for a moment it was you. It wasn't you, it was angels. Because God by faith decreed it. He decreed you to salvation. He decreed you to an end. And it ain't up to you to make it. He's already got angels there to help you make it. You're going to make it. I hope this is all right. Now, God has never based his faith on the present condition. And I know that there's sometime when we feel low, when we feel down, we feel like maybe that has affected God's thinking about us. It isn't. Because God has never based his faith on the present condition. He didn't do it when the earth was without form and void and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Amen. That condition did not affect his faith. His faith was in his own word. Can you say amen? And so God has never based his faith on your present condition. He never based it upon your sinful life. He never based it upon your weaknesses and your failures and your complexes and your habits. And can you say amen? Amen. If you'd done that, then well, we wouldn't be here tonight. Jeremiah 29:11. God says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil." Thoughts of peace, not of evil. If there's thoughts that is causing disruption in your life and causing turmoil, that is not of God. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. Can you say amen? So he's already given us an expected end. Do you believe it? And he's given angels charge over us to make sure that we make it. He's not worried about things. God is not worried about you. He's never been worried about the future. Never been wondering, that what he said is going to happen. Faith doesn't question. Faith doesn't say, "Well, you know, I wonder if that's really going to happen. I don't know." No, faith doesn't question. Faith is a knowing. Can you say that with me? Faith is a knowing. That's right. Doesn't question anything. As long as there's a question, then faith cannot exist. Faith simply knows beyond a shadow of a doubt. Can you say amen? So we find that faith doesn't believe that it's going to be done. Faith believes that it's already done. God by faith spoke his word and he's at rest. He set the time clock for you to come. He set the time clock for everything to happen. You was born a sinner. You was born a wretched, a loser. Brother Bram said we were born defeated. You might have been painting the town red. You might have been the biggest, baddest guy on the block. But God already had your number. Before the foundation of the world. Can you say amen? So faith believes that it's already done. Notice, God called those things that were not as though they already are. Abraham done the same thing. He called those things that are not as though they already were. He wasn't looking at the present condition. He was looking at the unseen. Is this all right? God was looking at the unseen. He saw you before you ever got here. He saw you holy. He saw you righteous. He saw you victorious. He saw you triumphant. He was looking at the unseen. Abraham saw it. He saw the promise before he ever got there. By faith. Can you say amen? Now, if God lives by faith, what about us? The Bible tells us the just shall live by faith. Ain't that right? So we are to worship by faith. Don't worship by feelings. Worship by faith. We are to preach by faith. Ain't that right, ministers? We preach by faith. We are to sing by faith. We are to amen the word by faith. I'm preaching promises to you, and your life may be contradicting it. Amen. And you're looking at your failures. Don't you look at that. Amen the word by faith. Can you say amen? We have to lift up our hands by faith. Can you say amen? Why? When the promises are being preached, we should amen it with everything we have by faith. Now, this faith that we are to live by is God's own faith. Jesus said unto his disciples, have faith in God. In the Greek it says, have the faith of God. Ain't that right? Now, Brother Branham told us that faith is a super sense. He says, now, by that same sense, God spoke when there was nothing. See, what is that sense? That super sense is God. The faith of God in you. The part of God that comes into you gives you the super sense. And by that same super sense, God framed the world together with things which was not and did not appear. He spoke his word, believed his word, and a world shook into existence. Amen. So you cannot have God without having the faith of God. Ain't that right? Now, Paul would call it the spirit of faith. He did. So it's not a mental faith, but the spirit of faith, which is God himself. Ain't that right? So Brother Branham says, if you're an offspring of God and God is in you, he, everybody say, he will believe his own word. In heaven, when he existed by himself, he believed his own word. When he come into the body of Jesus Christ, he believed his own word. Now he's in a people. He knows what he spoke about you. He knows what he promised about you. He believes his own word. Is he up in heaven believing it? He's in you. That is believing his own word. That's why when you're in the lowest trials of your life and the fire is hot, yet there's something in saying, amen. Amen. Oh, now surely you all know that. When you're down discouraged and you just don't know and you come into church. And I, this old preacher, I just have to be honest, be transparent. There's some times, you know, that I'm just dragging. You know, the old body is just feeling discouraged and just seemed like you just had a hard week and just really doesn't seem like much is going on and the future looks pretty bleak, but you let the preacher. All right. And there's some times I know Brother Doug, you have to do it too. Right. You have to preach when you don't feel it. But when you start preaching them promises, something starts happening. Something shakes alive. That's the God in you. That is amening his own word. He believes his own word. And this body ain't going to change his opinion. Just because this body doesn't feel right, amen, doesn't change the God in you. Let that word of promise be preached, and the God in you will say amen. See, for God in you will believe his own word. Is that right? Then you don't look at things you see. You look at things that God said. Then you begin to look at the unseen. You're not looking at the situation. You're not looking at the circumstances. You're not looking at what's going on around you. You're looking at the unseen. And the unseen lays in the promises of God. Are you with me? The unseen lays in the promises of God. You're not imagining it. It's a promise. You're not wishing for it to happen. It's a promise. And you're literally seeing yourself in the book. That's why it's important for ministers to have this spirit of faith when they get behind the pulpit. Right? Why? Because it keeps us from looking at your problems. It keeps us from looking at your faults. Now, I'm just going to be honest with you. There's sometimes I come to church and I look at the people and and you're trying to match the promises with what you're seeing. All right. Hello? So this, when you come in the spirit of faith, you, it keeps you from looking at the people's problems. It keeps you looking at the church's problems. And it keeps us looking at the unseen. I'm preaching from the unseen. I'm looking at the unseen and I'm preaching it to you. You're going to make it. You are victorious. You are the bride of Christ. I know you may not feel it and I may not be seeing it, but I'm telling you what a promise said. I'm looking at the unseen. Can you say amen? And by the spirit of faith, I decree it in your life. And you say amen. And by faith, everybody say by faith. We are calling those things that are not as though they were. That's what keeps us positive, Brother Manuel. We're staying positive. Though our church just is rocking it and it's being in a turmoil and people are battled and weary and all that, we're staying the promise. We're looking at the promise because we have the spirit of faith. Can you say amen? And I decree the promise over your life. You're going to make it. We're going in a rapture. Can you say amen? You young people are going to make it. Amen. The devil ain't got a hold of you. You're going to rise. You're going to rise above it all. I don't care how bad and ugly this devil is. I don't care how wicked this world is. You're going to make it. I'm looking at the unseen. Can you say amen? And I say to you parents as well, you got children that are wayward. Don't you look at that wayward child as though he's hopeless. I'm looking at the unseen. That promise is yours. That child is yours by faith. You claim that child in the name of the Lord. He's mine. He's going to make it. Why? You got a promise in the book. Bless the name of the Lord. We're looking at the unseen, which lays in the promises of God. You know what the prophet said? The spirit of faith always admits that the word is right. And we ain't talking about doctrine. I'm talking about the word concerning you. There are going to be all kinds of fussing over doctrine of which is right and who's wrong and all this stuff. Get away from all of that. And look at the word for yourself. That spirit of faith in you will look at that word, and regardless of what you feel or what you see about yourself, it will admit the word is right. That's how you overcome everything. And you say amen. Amen. I know. We're bride. But you know what? We also have things that we get discouraged. Sometimes you get discouraged with the church. You get discouraged with the pastor. You get discouraged with your wife. You get discouraged with everybody else. You get discouraged about the musicians. You just get discouraged about everything. And I'm just going to be honest, we're living in a negative world. Everything is so negative. But what keeps you staying? Because you've learned not to look at problems. You've learned not to look at the current situations. That comes and goes. If everybody looked at you, they'd probably walk away too. But your pastor's been here 30 years. Can you say amen? Amen? But see what happens. It stabilizes us because we're not looking at what comes and goes. We're not looking at temporary things. We're looking at the promises of God. So the word of faith, or the spirit of faith, always admits the word is right. So when the prophet says, when the doctor tells you that you have, that they have done all that they can do, that's when you rely upon the spirit of faith. Amen. Can you say amen? So then as a believer, then you possess the very same faith that God possessed, which only, everybody say only, believes the word of God. Over every situation, it only believes the word of God. Ain't that right? Now, if you allow me to go on a little further, God's nature doesn't change by him coming into you. He had to redeem you in order to come into you. And he redeemed you by pardoning you. Ain't that right? And the only way he could pardon you is to pay the price of redemption. So here, notice, Revelations 5 and 9, it says, and they sung a new song saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood. Amen. Ain't that right? Revelations 1 and 5, he washed us. Or the prophet would tell us that word washed is loosed. Loosed us from our sins in his own blood. So you're not loosed by sex blood. You are loosed by God's own creative blood. And Brother Bram said, since it is the blood of God, it is perfect blood. How many believes that? And if the perfect blood is loosening us from the power and bondage and defilement of sin, then the loosening is perfect and complete. Amen. Amen. Then you stand justified as though you never did it. Your past is not tied to you. Your sins ain't tied to you. Your failures ain't tied to you. So then what does that mean? You're no longer a sinner. You are a son and daughter of God. Can you say amen? That's right. Amen. So now, in the Old Testament, we see that God performed the Messiah sign in a spoken word body when he stood before Abraham. Ain't that right? Melchizedek. Amen. In the New Testament, God performed that very same sign in the body of Jesus Christ that was begotten in the womb of Mary through a created blood cell. And in that body, Jesus Christ was manifested to destroy the works of the devil. Do you believe it? Now in this age, God was able to come into a man, a sex-born man. Hello? He didn't need to create himself another body. He was able to come into a sex-born man and perform the same sign that he did in the Old Testament and in Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? That's right, see? What was it? The Son of Man revealed himself in a body of a man that was redeemed. What is it? It's proof to us that the curse is broken over man. Can you say amen? It's proof to us that this is the time for the manifestation of the sons of God. It's proof to us that the blood actually works. Are you with me? The blood is more powerful than your earthly ancestry. It's more powerful than your sins and your failures. Amen. The prophet said this. He said, God is a spirit. And he overshadowed this Mary and created in her the blood cell that brought forth the Son of God. And through its, and it's through his holy blood that we have access to life, and our sexual blood is dismissed. And we have the blood of Jesus Christ that stands for an atonement, making an atonement for our sins. Now God is able to come into you, a people in this age, us, and the Word is able to have complete preeminence over our lives. Do you believe that? Now, the Word of God is important to us. Did you know that this Bible is a love letter? Written from God to us. It's a love letter. Amen. That's what a prophet said. It's a love letter. Before the Word was opened up, and you know, we thought that the Word condemned us. We thought the Word told us how ugly and awful we were. Preachers have used this Word to put us under condemnation. They have used this Word to bind the people to themselves instead of to God. They've used this Word to belittle the people of God, and which has driven them from God. Can you say amen? Amen? This Word has been used in such a way, and is still being used, in such a way to where the spirit of confusion hangs over the people. It has a power over people. Do you believe that? Amen. I believe that. Amen. It's been misused. It's been abused. And amen, they've taken scriptures that don't even pertain to the bride. And they've used it to beat the bride up. It's true.
Yes, it is.
But through the message, we have found that the Word is actually the trumpet of Jubilee for us. In the Old Testament, as you all know, I'm sure most everybody here knows, that there was times when God's people went into slavery to pay a debt or whatever, and for whatever reason, the man went into slavery, and the man might have been enslaved for years and years, and he had to leave his home. He lost his inheritance and had to leave his family or whatever. And, you know, he could no longer do what he wanted to do. And, he had to do, you know, what the taskmaster wanted him to do. And he was no longer free to do what he desired and things like that. But as we see, God, rich in mercy, provided a year of Jubilee. Ain't that right? And when a certain year came, there was a man that would go throughout the land and blow a trumpet. And that trumpet had a certain ring to it. And the sounding of that trumpet was sent throughout the land, letting the slaves know that that their freedom has come, that they're free to go. They don't have to worry about slavery anymore. No one have to worry about trying to pay debt and all that. They're free. They could go back to where they came from. They could go back and enjoy their freedom. They go back and be with their family and all of these things. Ain't that right? So the sounding of the trumpet let him know that the pardon, there was a pardon for him. Amen. But the slave just needed to know the sounding of the trumpet. And he had to know the meaning of that trumpet. Hello? Now, the prophet said in these days when these priests, he said they'd take the man out there and maybe hoeing in the cornfield and the master walking down and whipping him with the whip and saying, hurry up there, you know, gotta hurry up with this. But just as soon as that trumpet sounded, that man could throw that hoe down and say, I won't hoe with this anymore. Hello? One place he says that slave could drop that hoe, point his finger at that taskman, and say, don't you beat me no more. I'm done with this. Can you say amen? He says, and that taskmaster, that slave driver was forbidden to touch that man again. Because he was free. Why? He heard the good news and the Jubilee was on. See, the trumpet inspired faith within him. that he could act upon what he heard. Ain't that right? So Brother Branham says, now, when you see the real true principles of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, when you see our foundation is sure and solid, all devils of hell can't upset the foundation of God. Upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. It'll be against it. Sure it will. But it will never prevail. God's foundation stands sure. So he says, notice this man, he was not afraid. He worked under a taskmaster, and then when the final year come of Jubilee, when the priest sounded the trumpets, no matter what he was doing, if he was in the field of hoeing and the Jubilee sound came, he could drop that hoe and say to that slave driver, "You have no more jurisdiction over me." I hope you're understanding. It's time for us to start speaking the right words. It's time for us to start speaking the right words. Don't you use your words to grumble. Don't you use your words, amen, to complain. Use your words to tell that devil. Ain't that right? He said, "You have no more jurisdiction over me. I'm going home to my wife and babies. I am free." How did he do it? Because he heard it. Faith cometh by hearing, and the hearing by the word of God. He knowed as certain as that sound of Jubilee came that he was a free man. But notice, the trumpet could only sound on the Day of Atonement. Ain't that right? Leviticus 25:9. "Then shalt thou cause the trumpet of Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month in the Day of Atonement." See, shall ye make the trumpet sound throughout all your land. "And you shall hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. It shall be a jubilee unto you, and you shall return every man to his possession, and you shall return every man unto his family." Amen. Another place the prophet said, the atonement was made and all the slaves could go free. Can you say amen? Now notice that atonement. Amen. The slave didn't have to see that atonement. He didn't have to see the blood. He didn't have to be at the place, amen, to actually see the literal blood. But he just had to hear the trumpet. Can you say amen? See, amen. See, so the trumpet now, if you could just say, well, let me just tell you what I believe. Amen. The trumpet was the voice of the blood. Letting that slave know there was an atonement for you. Can you say amen? Amen. There is a blood there, and now you can go free. Can you say amen? Amen. See, so the trumpet was telling him there's an atonement made. See, it told him that the year of Jubilee was now at hand. Amen. And all the slave had to do was to believe in what he had heard. Do you believe it? Now, the trumpet of God today is the voice of God. Amen. And the prophet said the voice of God is his word. See, so some people want to make this word a voice of condemnation. That's a voice of condemnation to the unbeliever, but it's not to the believer. Never to God's elect. Can you say amen? That voice to the elect is a voice of redemption. It's a voice of mercy. So what's it doing? Letting us know that we were sons and daughters of God, and we always were. It's letting you know that you have the power to speak to your mountain. Come on, church. It's letting you know that you're free to go back to where you came from. It's letting you know you were never always in slavery. You might have been in slavery so long that you forgot what you were back then. You forgot what it meant to be free. But now it's letting you know you are free. Oh, the word of faith. Can you say amen? Amen. It's letting you know that you now have the power to overcome every demon of hell. I say it this way, you've got the power to overcome pornography, young people. You have the power to overcome lust. You have the power, church, to overcome every divisive spirit that would try to break this church up. You have the power to overcome spirits that are trying to break your marriage up and ruin your family. Come on, church. You're free to go back to what God thought of you in the beginning. What is it? It's the voice of the blood. Well, then whose blood is speaking? What blood is the word come to represent? Hebrews 12:24, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than of Abel. See, the prophet said the blood of Abel spoke out against Cain. It was a voice of condemnation. And Cain couldn't run from it. Cain couldn't silence it. Cain couldn't hide from it. Hello? The voice of Abel's blood condemned him. But the blood of Jesus Christ speaks better things. Amen. The prophet says the blood speaks better things. The blood is speaking. Then the blood has got a voice. And the voice of the blood is the word. He said the Old Testament, the blood spoke of guilt. In the New Testament, it speaks of redemption. In the Old Testament, it spoke of death and sorrow. In the New Testament, it speaks of resurrection and life. It speaks of healing. It speaks of joy. It speaks of power. It speaks of life. It speaks of heaven. And that same blood that was shed upon the ground, a man that called out after his dead brother or called out after his brother that had killed him, he said the blood of Jesus Christ covers all of our sins and speaks peace and resurrection and power and life and healing and all the redemptive blessings that the blood was shed for, it speaks for us. Amen. Notice, he sent his word. Everybody say, he sent his word. And healed them. And delivered them from their destructions. In Romans 9:9, we see it. It is the word of promise. It isn't just any word. It's a word of promise. Can you say amen? Oh, do you love him? Melchizedek, when he appeared to Abraham, he said, for this is the word of promise, that at this time I will come and Sarah shall have a son. God didn't forget his promise to Abraham. And so as it in this day, the word that has been sent to us is a word of promise, letting us know God didn't forget about us. Whatever God declared us to be and predestinated us to be, he still remembers it. It is a word of promise that he sent to us. It's the voice of the blood. God doesn't send his people some gimmick. He doesn't send his lips some personality or some sensation. Can you say amen? For the faith of God doesn't exist in those things. For faith cometh by hearing, and the hearing by the word of God. Now as I close, God sends his word by how? A prophet. Come on, church. He sends his word by a prophet. Brother Bram says God always, in every case, sends the people a true servant, a true prophet that will bring the true word of God. And the word of God is what delivers the people always. No wonder Satan tries to get us looking at other things outside of a prophet. No wonder he's trying every which way to belittle the prophet. He's doing every which way he can. Amen. To get, oh, you're quoting too many quotes, and you're saying Brother Branham this and Brother Branham that, and all these things. Amen. One said the other day that the picture that Brother Andrew showed us where the pillar of fire over Brother Branham's head, he stood and told his church, the church is not a fitting place for that picture. I thought, oh God, what are we coming to? Brother Branham said, that's his picture. It ain't my picture. That's his picture. What was God doing? To glorify a man? No, to let us know that whatever that man says, he backs up. And I tell you, if God can say amen to this message, I can say amen to this message. If God ain't embarrassed to be identified with this message, I'm not embarrassed to be identified with this message. Why? It's the voice of the blood telling you where you came from to let you know you're free. You're free. You're the sons and daughters of God. Can you say amen? Oh, do you love him? Isn't he wonderful? Hallelujah. And to think of it, God, amen, there's only one ministry, if I could say it that way, that has the power to break the devil's back, break the powers of Satan, and that's this prophetic ministry. Can you say amen? We ain't coming to you with our own message. Your pastor, when he preaches to you, he's not coming up with his own message. I'm so glad that we have men of God that ain't afraid to say what Brother Branham said. I'm so glad we got pastors and evangelists and ministers, apostles and teachers and that ain't afraid, amen, to let the people know where they got it from. You can't read too many quotes. You can't say enough of what Brother Branham said. Can you say amen? It ain't our message, it's God's message. It wasn't even Brother Branham's message. He was the mouthpiece. That God was letting us know that you're free. He doesn't look at you as a sinner. He doesn't look at you as vagabonds. He doesn't look at you as defeated. He looks at you as sons of God. He died for this purpose, and we are his victory. Psychologists can't help you. That's why we ministers don't look to psychology to try to help you fix. We look to the word of promise. Your future is in the word of promise. Your victory is in the word of promise. Your reconciliation is in the word of promise. Only one man that had such a ministry to help a bride in this age. Remember, Brother Branham had that dream. There's big people in prison. They were hiding behind prison bars and they were shackled. And they were moaning and they were groaning. Someone saying, help him, Brother Branham. Help him. And he's looking, it was such an awful condition. Ain't that right? It was such a horrible condition of what he was looking at in the scene. But he says in this dream, he said that God said to him, a voice said to him, deliver those people. And the prophet says, I thought, well, how could I deliver them? Aren't you glad he was humble? Aren't you glad he didn't have so many degrees that he could say, yeah, I'll use one of my degrees, we'll get it done. He's saying, how can I deliver them? He said, I haven't got strength enough in my arms to break those bonds. So I said, house of hell, give way to the name of Jesus Christ. And all the creaking and popping and the rocks are rolling and bars falling and people running screaming, delivered! And screaming at the top of their voice, and was all delivered. I'm so glad for a message. I'm so glad that God's called me to preach this message. I'm so glad there's a people that'll say amen to this message. It's producing the greatest people on the face of the earth. We're going home, church. You're free. The blood is speaking for you. Yes, sir. Can we just stand to our feet and lift our hands unto the Lord? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. A word of faith. The word of faith. Brother Paul would say the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth. That is the word of faith which we preach. Not a word of condemnation. It's a word of faith. Looking at the promise of God. Some of you may have heard me talk about it, but I think of the prodigal son. And I'm sure you could use it in many different ways, but I'll just use it the way for now. But here's a man that the son, he got arrogant. He wanted to go do his own thing, thought he knew more about the father's business, and he wanted to get away from home. So he tells his dad, I want my inheritance. So he got what was given to him and he takes off. Man, he forgets about home. He forgets about daddy. He forgets about everybody. He is now free to do whatever he wants to do, go wherever he wants to go. Man, he was spending his money, living it up, buying the finest mule that there was, you know, and wining and dining with friends and living in luxury, man. But the Bible tells us he ran out of money. And when he ran out of money, his friends left him. He found himself alone. Found himself having to sell that old nice mule. Then he had to sell the nice carriage. And then he had to sell the nice clothes. And then he had to sell everything. And if he's like most of us, hawking things and pawning things. And to where he had nothing. And he ends up, the Bible says he's now working for a hog farmer. And he's tilling, but now he's getting hungry. No doubt he's lost a lot of weight from hunger pains. And the Bible tells us that he's now starting to live with the hogs. He's mingling with the hogs. And no doubt he smells like a hog. You know, and stinking and woo-hoo, wretched man. No doubt he's gotten holes in his garments now that once used to be nice. And they're old now. And he's just in a miserable shape. But the Bible says he came to himself. And he remembered that he did have a father that owned a nice kingdom. And he thought, oh, I'll go home. I'll go to my father and I'll just tell him. If you'll just let me be a servant, I'll be fine. I'll go home and tell him. I ain't fit to be a son. I'll do what the servants, I'll eat like the servants, I'll live the way the servants live. I'll do it all. He fell from position in his own mind. He didn't fall from position in his father's mind, in his own mind. He had lived in such a condition that he couldn't see himself as a son no more. He couldn't see himself as worthy. He just couldn't see himself. He figured the father would throw him out, and so he's just gonna. So he's reciting. He's in such a bad condition, so he just keeps reciting. No doubt, as he's going, he's thinking of what he's going to say, and as he's staggering and he's hungering and he's trying to get his way back home, and he's thinking, "Oh, I'm a servant. I'm a servant. I'll just tell him, you know." And the Bible says that the father, he's looking. And no doubt, you just can't help but think every day the father's going out looking for that son. Maybe getting his field glasses out. But one day he sees that old lone figure bent over and he's staggering. No doubt he falls and trying to get back up. And father's looking at that and something familiar about that. Looking and he recognizes his son.
Right.
And he takes off running to meet his son. I can't help but think of Revelations 10:1. that mighty angel coming down to meet us, knowing it's time for the manifestation of sons. And here, you know, here he was, and he runs up there, "My son, my son." And the son said, don't call me son, don't call me son. I'm not worthy to be son. I'm a servant. I'm just a servant. And no, you're my son. No, I'm a servant, sir. You know, and no doubt the father had to shake him a little bit and say, "You're my son. You're my son." See, he was put on a robe. The fatted calf was killed for him. He was given the ring. And no doubt, in all this time, he felt unworthy to be a son. But now he had to live by what the Father said about him. He couldn't live by what he felt. He couldn't live by what he thought about himself. Hello. And maybe all everybody else is scorning him, saying, "Look at you, you old wretched." But he'd say, "But my Father says I'm a son. I know I'm not worthy, but my Father says I'm a son." He had to hold his head up like a son because his father called him a son. Can you say amen? And church, the Father calls you sons and daughters. It's a word of faith that we must believe and that we must speak. Don't speak doubt. Don't speak complain. Don't belittle yourself. I am a bride. I am the bride of Jesus Christ. I am on my way to heaven. I am rapture bound. He says I am. Can you say amen? Whatever song. Can we just sing that song? I am redeemed. I am redeemed. I am redeemed. I've been bought with a price. Jesus has changed my whole life. If anybody asks you, oh, tell them. Oh, do you believe it? Can you sing it from your heart? Oh, I am bought with a price. Jesus has changed my whole life. Oh, if anybody asks you just to